The teaching and learning of science has pretty much become, well, in a way, learning like learning a part in a school play. Information is simply repeated until it's memorized. However, science in the real world is a more fluid element. The understanding of why something is ranks right up there with what something is and what something could be. My next guest with this series of science fiction books brings in insight and even some fun into science for his young readers. His Helium 3 trilogy includes the latest Crater True Blood and the Lunar Rescue Company. His autobiography, you might recall, Rocket Boys, became the film October Sky. Say good morning to Homer Hickam. Good morning, Homer.
Well, good morning, and I hope this new series of books is mostly fun for my young readers, but you're right, I do sneak in a little bit of science and a little bit of space and some stuff about duty and honor and responsibility, too.
Let me give you a couple of websites. Of course, we have links over at our page as well, homerhickam.com, the obvious for everything in Homer's world, but specifically for his science fiction books, helium3novels.com. That's the number three, helium3novels.com. And you'll learn more and how to get an autographed copy, too, which is always a cool thing. And, you know, with an idea, give us the rundown of what the storyline is. And it's important to know, too, that in a way, all of your sci-fi books are standalones. You don't need to, you're not behind the times if you just pick up with Crater True Blood and the Lunar Rescue Company, for example.
Yeah, Chris, let me explain why I wrote these books. I'm not normally a science fiction writer. I'm known for my memoirs. You mentioned Rocket Boys that became October Sky and a series of other adult kind of novels. But the governor of Alabama put me on the board of Space Camp here in Huntsville, Alabama, and I started interacting with the young people over there and found that they could use a new series of books. They're still reading the old sci-fi stuff, or they're reading Harry Potter-type fantasy. And it seemed to me that the best utilization of my talents was to write a series of books that these kids would love and other kids would pick up, and parents and grandparents and teachers would want to give their kids, that tell them an interesting story, but use real science in them, and set on the moon 100 years in the future. So Crater True Blood is a young man, 14 years old when we first meet him. He's 21 at the end of the series. And he lives on the moon. He's a helium-3 miner. The moon is very much like the old Wild West. And he interacts with a lot of interesting characters and uses his knowledge and ability of science and math to overcome the obstacles that are put in his path.
Something with science, too. I think we'd spoken with someone last week about a new curriculum going in to New Jersey schools this in 2014-2015 school year, about not just memorizing, like I said in the introduction, but explaining or understanding why you get to an answer. And the idea of what if with science, I think that's a lot of what's gone out of especially kids' understanding of science and what the potential of science is. And I think science fiction is a fun way to bring kids into that what if situation.
Well, it is, I'm happy to say that these books have hooked a lot of readers. They're meant for ages 10 through 18, but a lot of adults, especially those who used to read the Robert Heinlein and Isaac Asimov classic hard sci-fi, they really like these books as well. And so that was my intention to do that. You know, in terms of kids liking science and liking math, what I discovered as the Rocket Boy back there in West Virginia that I wrote about in Rocket Boys was that if you had a reason to learn something and a passion develops, then you can learn just about anything. I was horrible in math and science growing up, but when the Russians launched Sputnik and we started this space race, I got enamored with the idea of learning how to build rockets, and all of a sudden, even though I was having trouble with algebra at the time, I had to learn calculus and analytical geometry and differential equations, and I found it easy because I had a passion for it in order to build rockets. So I think we have to hook kids and get them passionate about the idea of being an engineer and a scientist.
Especially in these days, too, where so much of science is now a new private industry, with NASA being downgraded as it has been, and that's given cause for a lot of the private industry, and not just lunar science, but really terrestrial science as well.
Well, it's true. You know, I know a lot of engineers and scientists, and they love what they do. They get up in the morning and say, oh, boy, I get to go do that. It's really a shame that we don't emphasize to our students how actually much fun engineers and scientists have, and what good lives that they're able to have. They make really good money. A lot of our positions in engineering school and the sciences in college go empty. Our American kids are not signing up for it. International kids are coming over and filling the slots. So we're really losing out and shortchanging our children by not emphasizing how good a life you can have as an engineer or a scientist, and an interesting life and a productive life.
Talking with Homer Hickam, whose autobiography Rocket Boys became the film October Sky. He's become a sci-fi writer now, too, and a fun way for young readers, and, you know, as adults can dig these books, too. His latest is Crater True Blood and the Lunar Rescue Company, part of the Helium 3 trilogy. Learn more about Homer's world at homerhickam.com and his sci-fi writing at Helium, the number 3 novels, heliumnumber3novels.com. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. You know, when you were writing your autobiography, obviously you knew a beginning, a middle, and maybe even an end. Maybe the end even became more detailed or another direction than what you intended to be. But when you're writing science fiction like Crater True Blood, how much of the story have you gotten settled and concrete when you start writing a novel? And how much of it becomes more fluid? And you say, you know what, I was going to go left here, but let me go right here now.
Well, what I do, first off, is develop characters that I'm interested in and I want to follow. And if I'm interested in them, I try to write it in a way that you'll be interested in them as well. I have a vague idea about where I'm going. I'm not and I don't outline in detail. It's kind of fun the first time through just to enjoy the adventure with my characters as they meet obstacles. I throw up obstacles in front of them, and it's intriguing to see how they get out of it sometimes. So then I go back and revise to make it a good flowing story that you want to turn a page and see what's going to happen.
Nothing to books like yours, especially The Crater True Blood and The Lunar Rescue Company and all of the Helium 3 novels, sci-fi. I hesitate using science fiction because you're having read what you've done. You really do have a base, a foundation of reality science, and you just take it to, as I said, the what if we did this type of thing. So maybe sci-fi is a more friendly term than science fiction.
Yeah, it's hard. Well, what you call hard sci-fi in that it's based upon fact and real scientific principles rather than any kind of fantasy. Basically, the Crater True Blood series is set out on the moon 100 years from now, and these people live on this very raw, harsh frontier. And I took what I know basically made a very good guess on what life will be like, and then people it with interesting characters. I think what will happen, really, 100 years from now, we will have tens of thousands of people living on the moon. It won't be an easy life. In a lot of cases, the people up there will be refugees from Earth, just like our country was settled by the Pilgrims who were escaping religious persecution.
Or even like the West was developed by the pioneers.
Yeah, the Western, our pioneers were a rough bunch, and that's the way I see the moon being developed, too.
There's element two of the story where you have an asteroid that's engineered by one of the characters' abductors that could be flung at Earth. And, you know, how often now do we hear stories about near misses by asteroids now?
Yeah, and what happens if when we have the capability of moving asteroids around, some nefarious folks say, well, what happens? Well, let's just throw it at the Earth, you know. And so Crater True Blood, with his lunar rescue company, has to he's trying to rescue his girlfriend. But ultimately, he has to go up against these bad guys who have the capability of destroying the moon and the Earth, and have a reason for doing it. So again, it's a lot of fun to read these books and to think about what it's going to be like living on that raw frontier. And hopefully, I'm hooking these kids. I'm sneaking in a little real science as they go along, and make them start to think about what it will be like and why it would be a great thing to go up and settle the moon. And fortunately, as I mentioned, now I'm on the board of space camp, world famous space camp, and we're right now trying to figure out how to train our kids and get them interested in space and science. And these books are just part of that, and they'll be part of the curriculum over there as well.
They are fun reads indeed. The legends being Crater True Blood and the Lunar Rescue Company. Learn more about Homer's Helium 3 Trilogy at helium3novels.com. Find out how to get some autographed copies, too. That's always a cool thing to have for the personal library to give for a gift, just to further let a young person realize that this is something special that you'd really hope that they get into. And believe me, once they start, they are going to want them all. So remember that website, helium3novels.com. And for everything in the world of Homer Hickam, it's the obvious location on the web, homerhickam.com. Homer, thanks so much for the way that you're enlightening us about the value of science, the potential of science as a life and a career. Thanks for being here this morning.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been fun.